Well, good morning and welcome to Good Morning Live. I'm James Epperly, and today is Friday, September 12th, 2025. And we are mixing it up a little bit today. On Fridays, what we want to do on this program is now have a special focus that we are calling Good Morning Live, the breakdown. So what's the breakdown? Well, the breakdown is where we pause, slow down, and really just unpack the stories that have been shaping our world, if you will. Not just what happened, but what it means and how we as believers should respond to all of this. Because the truth is that the news cycle is fast, and it often leaves us anxious, divided, very confused at times. But as Christians, listen, we have a filter. We don't just absorb headlines, we look through the lens of God's word. So what I want to do over the next few minutes, I want to remember the anniversary of September 11th, reflect on the tragic death of Charlie Kirk. I want to consider the words and actions of our media, talk about faith in our schools, and respond to a viral prophecy that is getting a lot of attention all across social media. So for the next few minutes, buckle up, and we're going to dive into this together. Now, like I said, I know this is a very different format than we typically have on Good Morning Live, but we're going to try this out on Fridays, and I trust it's going to bless your life. So let's break it down together. Well, yesterday marked the 24 years since September 11th, 2001. Now, for those of us who lived through it, you will remember where you were. That morning seemed ordinary, right? Until it wasn't. Planes struck the Twin Towers. Smoke rose from the Pentagon. Passengers on Flight 93 made that ultimate sacrifice. And nearly 3,000 lives were lost in just a matter of hours. I remember, like you probably do, that shock, that fear. The grief that was overwhelming in those following days and months. And yet, something interesting happened in those days and weeks that followed. America prayed. I remember our churches were filled. People who had never bowed their knees to God suddenly realized how fragile life really is. I remember seeing people lining up at churches. Prayer vigils on the courthouse steps. I remember strangers embracing at airports. And for a brief moment, our nation remembered that we desperately need God. But here we are, 24 years later, and I dare to say that in many ways we've forgotten. We've traded unity for division. We've allowed politics to harden our hearts. I think we've pushed God out of the public square again. But let me remind you what Psalms 46:1 says. It says, our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And Psalms, let me find my scripture here. Psalms 34:18 declares, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The memory of 9/11 should do more than just stir emotions. It should stir repentance. It should bring us back to that urgency. It should stir us to live every day as if tomorrow wasn't promised, because the Bible says that it's not. So this week we've paused and remembered. We have honored the heroes. And of course, we continue to pray for the families who would still, of course, be grieving their losses. But once again, let's ask God to be merciful on our nation. Let us turn back to God and ask him again to bless our land. Well, this week, another tragedy shook our nation. Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, was only 31 years old when he was shot and killed while speaking at Utah Valley University. Now, regardless of whether you agreed with all of his politics or not, this is a life that was completely cut short. A family grieving, a movement that, man, it was inspiring young people around America, is mourning today. So I want to take a look really quickly at just this clip, and we'll come back and talk about it in just a second.
Do you have for me as I move into adulthood in order to become a more informed and involved citizen?
Well, first of all, thank you for being here, and I have hope thanks to people like you. How old are you again?
13.
13. Here's a couple things I want to encourage you to do. Learn something new every single day, and focus on what it means to be a good person and a person of strong character. Aristotle said that courage is the ultimate virtue. Without it, there are no other virtues. If people aren't courageous, you don't have honesty. You don't have justice. You don't have beauty. You don't have wonder. And so at age 13, I want you to commit yourself to a life of courage. Courage is doing the right thing when you don't know how it's going to work out. Courage is committing yourself to the correct course of action, regardless of the cost associated to it.
Every human being, I believe, is made in the image of the divine, is sacred, is unique. And if we get away from this principle as we have, we not only have moral degradation, we not only have the collapsing society around us, but it's bad for that being itself. That being itself is unique. That being has rights. And who are we to say, just because we're older, that we get to murder it? Thank you.
Well, that was a beautiful tribute to Charlie Kirk. And I don't know, that this is a painful reminder, unfortunately, of the times that we live in. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 24, 12, that because lawlessness will abound, that's what he said about the end days, lawlessness will abound, that the love of many will grow cold. And man, I think we are seeing that unfolding before our very eyes. It's been amazing to me to see portions of our culture and society who struggle to even, whether or not you agreed with his politics, acknowledge the great loss of life that is there in his life being cut short. And to me, man, that just speaks to what Matthew 24 says, that the love of many will grow cold. And, you know, in America today, violence has become almost normalized. Public discourse has turned toxic. I mean, it's almost like you just have to stay off social media when things like this happen, because anger and outrage have become the default language, if you will, of our culture. And when words are poisoned, actions will always eventually follow. So the Christian community grieves this week over Charlie Kirk and the loss of life. But the Christian response is clear. First, we mourn. We grieve with those who grieve. We don't rush to pass the pain, but we pause in this moment, and we grieve with those who grieve, as the church at large grieves itself. But we pray for his family, for his incredible team, and of course, everyone who is shaken by this loss. We pray for those who were at the Utah campus that day that had to witness that shooting, that assassination. I mean, you can only imagine the painful process of removing those images from your mind and healing and coming past that. It's just unimaginable to think of. And then secondly, we choose peace. In a culture that thrives on outrage, what do? We take a different road. Jesus said in Matthew 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." And thirdly, we stay faithful. We stay faithful to the call and the command of God. We understand that evil is real and darkness is real, but so is the hope of Christ. And in this moment, when violence tries to silence our voices, come on, we as the church must rise up and declare life. You know, I taught our church Wednesday when this happened. We had a Wednesday night service at Hope City Church. And, you know, I taught our church is that I believe anointings never leave the earth, that God gives anointings for the purpose of doing in the earth what he wants it to do. And, you know, I believe Charlie had a specific and unique anointing. He was unafraid to take the Christian message and have a public dialogue and debate, if you will, into our college campuses where the religious church of our day has just said, well, it's helpless and hopeless and let's run from it. Let's hide within the four walls of our church. But he had the boldness to step up, to stand out and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, open up discourse, have public debate right where it mattered most. And as a result, we have seen revivals breaking out in college campuses over the last 2 years. I believe one of the greatest things that we can do is, yes, we mourn. Yes, we choose love. But I believe we take a lesson in the life of Charlie Kirk. And instead of hiding in the four walls of our churches, it's time that we rise up, that we step out and come on, bring the gospel into the darkness where it's needed the most. I mean, you know, Jesus said in the end days that, you know, they will hate you because they've hated me. And we have to be willing to say, well, this is why we're here. This is why we're called. But I want to challenge you today is what can your response be? Maybe in your world, you're not called to, start Turning Point USA and have a national campus ministry. But what you can do today is you can stop at your lunch break and talk to your coworker about Jesus. You can be unafraid to stand up and defend the truth of the gospel in a world that is set to tear it down and destroy it, call it irrelevant, call it a storybook from yesteryear. But you are called to stand up and show the power of our resurrected Jesus in your world and in your everyday life. And it is my prayer and it is my hope that we do that. That we honor Charlie's life by taking on that mantle of bringing the gospel where it is needed the most. Well, in revelation of course, the events that happened this Wednesday, in wake of that, the conversation didn't stop with the tragedy itself. Unfortunately, MSNBC had to let go of political analyst Matthew Dowd after he made some comments on the air that had become widely criticized and for good reason. In his remarks, he suggested that Kirk's rhetoric somehow invited the violence that took place. Can you believe that somebody could even believe that? Now the network has distanced themselves quietly, saying those comments were inappropriate. But let's just pause here for a second. When someone loses their life, our first response should always be compassion, not criticism. Empathy, not blame. Grief, not judgment. Come on, let's go back to the Bible. That's what we're doing here on The Breakdown. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words can heal and words can wound. As Christians, it is our responsibility to use our words to build up and to tear down, to speak life and not death, to choose compassion, even if we disagree with somebody's politics, their belief, or their lifestyle. And man, I just think in light of this tragedy, we should examine our own speech. Are we adding to that noise? Are we pointing people to Christ, or are we stirring division? Or are we speaking peace? Listen, your words matter. So choose them carefully. Be very careful of whether or not you're leaning into the circus of noise, or whether you are clearly pointing people to Jesus. Well, another story this week comes out of Texas. Attorney General Ken Paxton is pushing for stronger Christian expression in public schools. He's proposing some legislation that would include displaying the Ten Commandments, reciting the Lord's Prayer, and introducing Bible-based curriculum. Now, obviously, for some, this is seen as a victory, and for others, it raises concerns about the separation of church and state. Here's the balance. Here's the breakdown. Religious freedom matters. The ability to pray, to share your faith, to honor God in public life should always be protected. But at the same time, We can't outsource discipleship to the government, right? Deuteronomy 6:7 says, impress these commandments on your children. Talk about them when you sit down and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And I just want to remind us today that the first classroom of faith is in the home. Parents, you are the first pastors that your children will ever know. So I say that to say is, yes, let's support policies that allow faith to be expressed in schools. But more importantly, let's be the kind of parents and grandparents and mentors who live the gospel every day, so that the next generation learns by example. I've been saying this for years, but I think sometimes what the church likes to do is we like to try to get the government to force legislation to make the world look like the church. And that's never been the government's job. You can't force legislation for people to be Christians and act like Christ and to live like Christ. But what we can do as the church is what we can rise up and begin to evangelize our world until, as a result, we turn the tide of our culture. Then legislation will automatically follow. Why? Because the righteous are making an impact in our world. The righteous have a voice. So I want to be careful when we talk about legislation. I think that's great. But when we talk about legislation that, you know, says, well, let's make this happen and push this on people, we just got to pause for a minute and say, listen, the responsibility to raise my children starts in the home. And of course, everything else is great, but it has to start right there. Well, another headline that's been circulating this week online and has gone literally viral is a prophecy out of South Africa. A pastor claimed that Jesus would return September 23rd and 24th. And social media picked up, and now it is all over the internet. So I want to show you that.
The rapture is upon us. Whether you are ready or not, today what people will hear is God revealing his plan
to his people,
to the people of the world.
Yeah.
God took me to see the future, and then he brought me
back.
And then heaven, in a throne room, I see Jesus sitting on his throne, and I could hear him very loud and clear. I am coming soon. And to the people who are listening, please pay attention to what I'm going to say. He says to me, on the 23rd and the 24th, 2025, I will come to take my church.
There's a date.
There is a date.
Are there other people who have also said the same thing to confirm what you have said?
Well, interesting. That has sparked, of course, tons of input on social media and, of course, many people buying into that. But let me be clear. Mark 13:32 says, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So yes, Jesus is coming back. That's our hope. That's our knowledge. That is our confidence. But date setting distracts us from what really matters, right? We've seen this kind of rhetoric come and go of people trying to figure out dates and here's exactly when it's going to happen. And the Bible says we will know the season. Right. I do believe that Jesus will return in the fall of the year during the Jewish calendar, during the Feast of Trumpets. And there's a whole teaching we could get into that on another time. But not even the Son. You know, he's saying he had a vision that Jesus is sitting there and saying, listen, I'm coming back September 22nd and 23rd. Well, the scripture just said no one knows the day, not the hour, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Right. So his vision just contradicted scripture. But what this kind of rhetoric and date setting can do is it can lead to fear and, of course, then disappointment or even worse, people losing their faith when a date comes and passes and nothing happens. The call of the Bible isn't for us to speculate. It's for us to live ready. Live like Christ should come today because, very frankly, he might. But until he does, we remain faithful. We serve faithfully. We love boldly. We share the gospel with urgency. And if he comes today, prayerfully, you're ready. And if he comes 100 years from now, well, let's believe that we will still be found faithful. Now, I want to bring you into the conversation. What headline struck you this week? What story do you like us to break down maybe next Friday? You can let us know by sending in your comments, depending on what platform you're seeing us on. You can message us at info@ptnnow or just message us on social media. But this show is not just about delivering the news. It's about building a community of believers who will think biblically, live faithfully, and shine brightly in a very confusing world. So I know this format's been a little bit different today. We, instead of just opening scripture and having a devotional like normal, we've broken down some of the headlines. We've remembered 9/11. We mourned the loss of Charlie Kirk. We thought about the power of our words. We've considered faith in schools, and we've responded to a viral prophecy that Jesus is coming on September 22nd or 23rd. But through it all, one truth remains. This world is shaky, but God's kingdom is unshakable. Hebrews 12:28 says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So let's walk into this weekend not with fear, but with faith. Not with despair, but with hope. Not with anger, but with love. Let's choose to be people who are bold in our faith. Let's not forget the life of Charlie Kirk, who made such an impact on our world, but let's instead pick up that mantle and move forward. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this little bit different format today. Our goal is to do this every Friday, but I do want to remind you before we go off the air today that I hope to see you at Hope City Church this weekend. This weekend, Hope City Church. Now, if you did not know, we have launched two Sunday morning services. So instead of 10 a.m., we'll be meeting for worship at 9 a.m. and then again at 11 a.m. So pick your time. We just hope to see you there. And of course, we always have pre-service prayer at 8 a.m. in the sanctuary. So thank you so much for being with me today. Again, I hope that you enjoyed this little bit different of a Good Morning Live. Be blessed. And remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.